Ramsey TV.
Ladies and gentlemen of the body of Christ, good morning. This is Martin Zender. I am back in Florida. I got in a little later last night. I thought I was coming home on Sunday, but I wasn't coming home until Monday. Anyway, I was caught a little short today for a video. So I'm sitting here at my kitchen table doing a little impromptu thing. The sound quality isn't that great. The video isn't that great, but I wanted to make sure I gave you some new content today. I do have a lot to say. I have recordings from the conference in Evansville, Indiana, where I was this weekend to show you, and you are going to love it. The body of Christ is alive and well. There were people from five states who drove to Evansville, Indiana to hear the truth. And like you, they are isolated. I have to draw from five states just to get 20 people. As you know, the body of Christ is scattered. The body of Christ is alone. Individual members here and there. This is not a mighty movement. And yet it is a mighty movement because God takes the few and he scatters the strong. And once again, in Evansville, I warned people of the coming storm. I compared this world to the Titanic. And I warned everyone to get off the Titanic, run for the lifeboats. The lifeboat, in this example, is the Gospel of Paul. In my first talk on Friday, I talked about the Apostle Paul. Not so much a history of the Apostle Paul, but why he was necessary, why he was called, why he's important in the scheme of God, and what God was doing through him. Now, at the end of Friday's show, and you're going to see all of this when I edit the talks. Each talk was like an hour and 10 minutes. It wasn't scheduled that way. I just started talking until I felt like I was finished talking. And everybody just sat there glued to my words. Not my words, but, well, yeah, it was my words. But the words were, of course, based on scriptures that incredibly are just as alive today as they were than they were written. But at the end of Friday's talk, something happened that doesn't seem too unusual, but looking back on it, it was fortuitous. A woman there challenged me on church during the question and answer session, which I have after every talk. She said, "Martin, am I getting this correctly that you are not too favorable concerning church?" Whoa, do you ever have that correct, ma'am? Yes, that is true. Guilty as charged. And so she then proceeded to defend church. Well, I love my church. Well, I am going to continue to go to my church. My church is wonderful. My church is this. And of course, I tell you, I'm a nice guy in person. So I was very accommodating. I said, well, for various reasons, namely that God's name is defiled there. But I was very gentle on that point. But not the next night. The next night, she wasn't there. But it didn't matter, because even if she had been there, I would have done the same thing, because I had left that question really unaddressed. And as the next day wore on, which was Saturday, I became more incensed that anyone could defend an organization or an institution that has so dragged God's name through the mud, dishonored him, dishonored his son, unwillingly, but yet becoming the carriers of hideous teachings that have turned the world from God. I mean, the funny thing was, is on Saturday, I made notes, a couple pages of notes of what I was going to talk on. And it wasn't going to be a round criticism, a vehement, fiery decimation of organized religion. And yet, 2 minutes after I started, in my mind's eye, I could see that nice woman. And I'm not saying she was a bad woman, of course not. But I could see that nice woman back there from the night before. And I could still hear her words defending this satanic institution that carries the virus of eternal torment, of free will, of the Trinity. And I went off. I went off for an hour. And never looked at my notes because I threw my notes away. I threw my planned talk away. You're going to see that. But I want to tell you this. This video is going to be short. I woke up not long ago, but I wanted to give you original material this morning. I didn't want to run a greatest hits because I wanted to talk to you about this weekend. I'm going to be editing those. No, I'm not going to be editing them. I'm just going to be putting them in bite-sized pieces, except for the Saturday talk. I think I'm going to run that as a whole. It's going to be over 1 hour, but I don't think that can be cut up because it's just one rant. It has to be published as a whole. We visited Dean's friend, Chris Carnahan. It was Chris Carnahan, Dean Wilkinson, and his wife, Amy Wilkinson, who put this great conference together in the garage of Dean Wilkinson in Evansville, Indiana. But on Sunday night, I thought I was coming home Sunday because I didn't look at my flight information very carefully. So I went to check in for the flight the night before and I go, oh, it looks like I'm leaving on Monday. Okay, great. More time for fellowship. Went over to Chris Carnahan's house. Also had a nice conversation with his wife, Beth. Very interested in the truth. they were asking me about my former life. They asked me about where I raised my kids. And I was talking about the farm where I was for 25 years. And for some reason, when I was talking about the farm, the earth came to mind. Because farmers do what? They plow up the earth. And what do? They put seeds in the earth. And I told them how for 25 years, I've lived in an environment in the country, farmland, that was so totally not my environment. And as I'm explaining this, their question just triggered this whole dissertation. It was just the four of us, the five of us in the living room, the four. Dean, Amy, me, Beth, Chris. Five people. I started talking about how a farm is a great place to raise your kids. Farmers are wonderful people, and I thank God that they're doing what they do. I thank God that there are some people in this world who take handfuls of earth in their hand, smell it, and they love it, and they analyze it, and they sniff it, they taste it, they try to find out how much nitrogen is in it. They send it to laboratories to be studied. And my wife of 25 years would make a garden every spring, and I was very accommodating. Of course, I would help where I could. I didn't understand the concept of a garden at all. Because, well, I guess, yeah, you grow food and eat it. But I never understood of how economically viable it was when you spend all this time and money when you can go spend 10 cents for the same thing at the grocery store. Anyway, that's just me. I'm basically a suburban guy, a city guy. But okay, so I'm telling them that night, it's like all this hatred of the earth. Even though I accommodated it, I lived in it, but it came out of me. And I will tell you this, I hate the earth. And I told them that night, I was shocked at my own words coming out of my mouth. I said, I hate the earth. I hate the smell of it. I hate the feel of it. I hate that I buried so many animals in it. We have cats showing up at our house all the time out in the country. We lived on a corner, people dumped animals off. We took care of them, we nursed them to health, we spayed and neutered them, we fed them, and then they'd always get hit by a car the next day. So I'd be burying all of them and in the earth. I hate the earth. I hate that human bodies decompose in the earth. I hate everything about it. And I didn't realize the whole time that I hate the earth because I am from a different place. I am a celestial man. I am a man whose realm is inherent among the celestials. So why wouldn't I hate the dirt? Why wouldn't I hate the ground? Why wouldn't I hate the smell of it, the look of it, the feel of it? I'm thankful stuff grows in it that I eat, okay? But so I take advantage of those who love the earth. More power to you. You know, if you want to claw the earth, put stuff in it, make it grow, we need you. I'm glad you do it. But I'm a celestial man. I'm a man of the heavens. I'm a man who is completely out of place here. And then I said to them that anything involved with the earth, the life that springs from the earth, that nourishes my body, I'm not satisfied with it. I am almost antagonistic to it. I don't want it to continue. I am a stranger here. Like in Hebrews, Paul talks about those who have no country here. They're expatriates. They're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And that city is not on the earth. And then I said, I looked at them and I said, I am pretty much a broken person. I do what I can to get my work out. I do what I can to make videos, to write articles. But my interest in this entire planet, in its entire system, in its governments, in its religions, I said, this place for me has played. I am a dead man walking. I'm a dead man walking. This is actually a scriptural doctrine, because Paul says the world has been crucified to me. I have been crucified to the world. They have nothing to do with me. They don't love me. They don't want me. They don't need me. I don't love, want, or need them either. I'm getting by every day. I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be not too difficult of a person. I'm very civil to everyone I meet. And yet at the same time, I'm straining against this chain around my neck that is currently keeping me on terra firma. But I hate terra firma. Again, I hate the smell of it. I hate the feel of it. I hate its religion, its politics. I hate everything about it. And so, also, I have been crucified with Christ, and you have too. And so when Christ, our life, is manifest, where? Out of the earth? No, out of heaven. When he's manifest out of heaven, we will go there to be with him where he is. And we will finally escape the confines of gravity, the confines of soil. The first man was soilish. Adam was soilish. This is the man who brought us into condemnation and death. Who wants to be of that first man? Who wants to relish? Oh, he's soilish, not soulish. The concordant word is soilish, but he's also soulish, but he's also out of the soil. I don't care for that man. I don't care for Adam. Probably a nice guy, and I'm going to meet him someday and his lovely wife, but I'm not interested in what they did to us. Absolutely necessary, but I'm interested in the second Adam, in the last Adam. I'm interested in the celestial man. I'm interested in the man who doesn't smell like dirt.